Well, today we're starting a brand new series as we look forward to Resurrection Sunday. This is a series for the Easter season, and it's entitled, Look Again. Look Again. Because I believe that we need to look again at the death and the resurrection of Jesus and what he did on the cross, the finished work of Jesus for us. You see, sometimes if you've been in faith for a long time, we get accustomed to the stories of Easter. We've heard them year after year, decade after decade. And sometimes what can happen is we can pull back and say, oh, I've heard the story before. And we can begin to, oh, so subtly begin to pull back from what God is inviting us to look forward and look towards. Today, I'm inviting you to lean in because God not only has a timeless word, but he also has a timely word for you today. He's inviting you to look again at him because there's a word he has for you. And so in this series, we're gonna look at the different people who knew Jesus before he died and knew him after he came out of the grave and how after he came out of the grave, he invited them to look again. Say it with me, look again. He invited them to look again at him. Because we need to constantly, every day, every moment of our life, be looking to Jesus. That's something we all need to do. We need to look again at him. Because there's moments in time and certain things that we don't need to be looking again at. Which brings me to this. My wife, if you know anything about her, she hates with a burning passion snakes and spiders. She's deathly afraid of them. And I want to share with you, this has been a problem in our marriage, all of our marriage. I've tried everything to try to get her over this. I've prayed, I've interceded, I've fasted, I've sought God, I've had her talk to her friends, I've invited her to go to counseling, and guess what? Nothing works. She's still deathly afraid. And now that fear has migrated over to my daughter. She's afraid of snakes and spiders and bugs, oh my. That's why I thank God for my son, Aiden, because he and I are the only ones that can deal with spiders in our house. Because to my wife, every spider, even if it's a small jumping spider, is either a brown recluse or a black widow. And that spider is out to get her. But it gets much, much worse. Yes, I know. It gets much, much worse because my wife likes to watch shows over and over and over again about the things she's afraid of bugs and spiders and snakes. In fact, there's a show she keeps watching. I don't understand why she does it, but she keeps watching this show on National Geographic called The World's Deadliest Snakes. And inevitably, when she starts watching this show, I am not in the room at all. In fact, often what happens is I'm in the other room in my study, I'm on my face before the Lord, and I'm interceding, and I'm praying for our family. I'm asking God, what's the direction you're taking us in the church? And what will happen is that serene, sanctified, sacred moment is shattered by shrieks of fear. And all I hear from the other room, from our bedroom is, John, John, John! And so what do? I run in and I say, babe, what's going on? And she says, look. And so I turn and I look and I say, again? You're watching this show again? And she's like, yes. I say, why? Babe, just turn it off. And she says, no, I have to keep watching it because I've started the episode and I need to finish it. She says, come sit right beside me and hold my hand. Now, when she tells me she wants to hold my hand, in those moments, it's not just a gentle hold. It's to crush my fingers. She says, I can't look away. I can't look away. And I wonder if many of us are like that. We're intent to look again at our favorite movies, our favorite TV shows. We're willing to listen to our favorite jokes, listen to our favorite songs. And we're willing to do it for that. But sometimes when it comes to the stories of Jesus, we tend to not look again. And today Jesus is saying, look again. Your hope isn't in movies. It isn't in shows. It's in the risen Savior. He's saying, look again at me. Because I want to show you something brand new about who I am that will answer a need or a question that you have. Today, here's what I know, is that sometimes we're hesitant to look at Jesus because we've grown accustomed to the stories, but sometimes we're hesitant to look at Jesus because of the things that are in our heart. Sometimes in our life, we're stuck in the past. We're stuck in the past with our doubts. Our doubts hold us back. Our fears hold us back. Sometimes the things that people have spoken over us hold us back from looking at Jesus. Yes, we know about Jesus. We know that he is good, but sometimes there's an invisible barrier between us and him and really discovering who he is. In fact, sometimes people speak negativity over us and we begin to internalize it. Sometimes it's a negative word. Sometimes it's a criticism. Sometimes it's something that someone said, that you're never good enough, that you'll never do enough, that you'll never succeed, you won't advance. But sometimes it's something as simple as a nickname. Have you ever been given a nickname you didn't like and somehow it stuck? Maybe it's Smiley, maybe it was Bubba, maybe it was Peanut or Pumpkin or something like that. The nickname I got when I was growing up, my aunt gave it to me. She called me Huesitos. So for those of you who don't know, huesos in Spanish is the word for bones, and when you add itos to anything, it's supposed to be cute. But I didn't like it because I didn't want to be the skinny, lanky guy. Now I wish it was true. I wish I could go back to being huesitos. But sometimes we're marked by the words of people instead of being marked by the words of Jesus. And I believe Jesus wants to advance us. I want to encourage parents, be careful what you utter about yourself in front of your kids because they're paying attention. Your self-image of yourself will soon become their self-image of themselves as well. We need to be careful because there's power of life and death in our tongue. We can speak death over ourselves and that can then carry over to them. If we say, I'm ugly, I don't look nice, or I'm too skinny, I'm too fat, I'm too short, I'm too tall, whatever it is, whatever we add to that, whatever word after two we add, it can be something that degrades us and degrades the fact that we are created in the image of God and that we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I want to remind you, you're created in Christ Jesus to do good works and he made you a masterpiece. You're not an accident. You're made on purpose for a purpose. We need to allow God to speak that over us because the enemy wants to prophesy death and destruction over you. In fact, he wants you to rehearse the negative words of people in your past because he knows that he can destroy you if he'll get you to repeat the negative words of the past. But I want to share with you, God has better for us. In fact, Jesus wants to liberate us from the labels of our life. In fact, I want to challenge you today. This is the title of my message. Look beyond your labels. Whatever labels you have in your life, look beyond your labels because your labels that have been given to you are intended to limit you and limit what God has for you. And we need to look beyond our labels because Jesus looks beyond our labels. He's inviting us to look at ourselves and look at other people through his eyes. Husbands, wives, husbands, you need to look at your wife like Jesus looks at her. Husbands, you need to look at your wives the way Jesus looks at them. Wives, you need to look at your husbands the way Jesus looks at them. Why? Because God created them in his image, and we need to see people the way he sees them. So look beyond your labels. With that in mind, I want to invite you to join me in John chapter 20, verses 24 and following. We're going to look at a man who was stuck in his past. He was stuck with labels that he did not like. It's a man by the name of Thomas. While you're turning there, let me set the scene. Jesus, in this point in the story, book of John, Jesus has died. He's come out of the grave. He's already met with the women right outside the tomb. He told the women, go tell the disciples that I'll meet with them shortly. And so these men are in a room, and he meets up with his disciples once, as you'll see in just a moment. But there's one disciple that is not there. His name is Thomas. But here's the good news. The next week, when the men were gathered together in that same room, Jesus showed up again. And then he invited Thomas to come close, because we serve a Jesus that gives us second chances. He gives us second chances. So I want you to jump into this story, and I want to invite you to look at with new eyes the story of Jesus. And I want you to see yourself in this story as well. Let's look to the Word of God, verse 24 and following, John chapter 20. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, pay attention to Didymus. I'm going to lean into that in just a moment. One of the 12 was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." I want to remind you, Jesus will walk through walls to get to you. You may have a son that's in jail. You may have someone who's far from God, but Jesus will go to every great length to reach someone. And when he shows up, he just doesn't say hi and hello. He says, "Peace be unto you." And the word in Hebrew is shalom. He says, "My shalom is available to you." This is what he speaks to them, because they were worried and nervous because they believed in Jesus. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side." And then he says this to him, and he says it to us: "Stop doubting and believe." In fact, I want you to say it with me: "Stop doubting and believe." Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those," including all of us, "who have not yet seen and yet have believed." If you believe in Jesus, even though you haven't seen him, Jesus says you will be blessed. Today, Jesus is inviting us to look beyond our labels. He was asking Thomas to look beyond his labels, because let me tell you a little bit about Thomas. Thomas, his name in the original language means twin. And the word Didymus also means twin. That's one way it's been interpreted, is that the word Didymus means twin. Now, some scholars, what they believe is that when they said his name is Thomas, also known as Didymus, that they're just repeating the same thing. But here's what I know about Scripture. Often when Scripture says something that's similar but a little bit different, it's not because they're the same. It's because there are two different meanings. You see, Didymus, I don't think he was actually referring to the fact that he was a twin. In fact, I think it was something that they were saying about him. You see, Didymus was not a compliment. It was a nickname and a label. The reason why we know that is when we look at ancient literature, Didymus is never used as a name for someone. In fact, what they are saying is, as him being a twin, they're saying, "You are just like." So instead of calling him Thomas, they would call him Didymus. And what they're actually saying is, you're just like that person. Has anyone ever told you you're just like? Usually it's not something positive. It's usually something negative. You're just like your dad, stubborn and don't listen. You're just like your mom, who constantly gossips and criticizes everyone. You're just like your uncle, who always shows up and always makes a mess at family reunions. What they were saying to Thomas was this: "You're just like." And this is what Thomas was doing. He was living up to the label that was given to him. In fact, when you look at the word Didymus in the original language, it actually is two words put together. And these two words put together, what they mean is twice second. Twice second. What they're saying is, you're the one who comes in second, not just once, but all the time. What they were saying is, Thomas, you're second place. You're second rate. Guess what? You're the first loser, not just once, but all the time. Thomas was always the late and the last one to show up. You see, he was the guy with half the faith and double the doubts. He was known among the 12 as being the late person, the skeptic, the thinker, the detail-oriented person, the person who always asked a bunch of questions. And the disciples were tired of it. They're tired of him being Didymus. After a while, what they were calling him. It wasn't just a nickname, it became who he was. These labels became his identity. It was just like them saying, "You're one of the seven dwarfs." Have you noticed that none of the dwarfs have an actual name? They're just known by how they are. Sleepy, dopey, grumpy. Now don't look to the person next to you and name them what they are, okay? But I think all of us, if we're not careful, we can be known by how we are. And that becomes our identity instead of who God says we are. Maybe you've been labeled that you're just like your dad or your mom or your aunt or your uncle. Maybe you've been labeled as a skeptic. Maybe you've come in with a lot of questions. Maybe people tell you, when you come to God, just believe. Don't have doubts. Maybe you're someone who has a lot of questions and you walk into church and you say, "You know what, I've heard about this Jesus person, but I'm just not sure that someone can be born of a virgin, live a perfect life, then die, and then come back to life." You may be that person. But here's the good news. As we see in the story of Thomas, Jesus doesn't discard Thomas for doubting. In fact, he invites him closer. He says, "Thomas, come closer." I want you to notice this, is that in the original passage, when Thomas says to the other disciples, "I won't believe unless I put my fingers in his wounds or my hand in his side," Jesus wasn't there in physical form, but Jesus heard his doubts. In the moments when you're alone and you have doubts and worries and fears and you feel like you're alone, I want to reassure you that Jesus hears you. He knows your doubts. He knows your fears. And he invites you to come closer, just like he did with Thomas. He said, "Thomas, come closer. You have doubts? Let me answer them. Come closer. Discover who I am." And he invited him in. He said, "Look at my hands. Look at what I did for you. Put your hand in my side and discover what I did for you, how I bled for you, how I gave my life for you." And this is exactly what Thomas does. He steps in and he begins to believe. In fact, this isn't the first time Jesus deals with the doubts of Thomas. In fact, when you look at John chapter 14, Jesus begins to prepare his disciples for the fact that he's gonna die and that he's gonna go to heaven and he's gonna prepare a place for them. And this is what Jesus tells them. He says at the very end of that, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." And then Thomas, like that one kid, all you teachers know, that one kid that goes like this, right? He's the speed guy with the hand up. He says, hold on. He says, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" He was the guy with all the questions. And I think the disciples are like, "Oh, here goes. He's asking another question." And this is the moment when Jesus says, and he reveals something to him and also to us. This is when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." He makes a declaration about his divinity, about his sovereignty, about how he's the only way to salvation. Jesus capitalized on Thomas's doubt to reveal more of who he was to Thomas and to the rest of us. That's why it's so profoundly powerful that Jesus tells him to stop doubting and believe. To stop doubting and believe. Because we all need to do that. We need to stop doubting and believe. Here's what I want to invite you to do today, even right here at this moment, is whatever doubts and worries you have, I'm inviting you to bring it to the foot of the cross and say, "God, I've got these worries, I've got these fears, I've got these situations that I cannot solve. But instead of looking to my problems, I'm gonna look to you. You're the pioneer and the perfecter of my faith. You're the one who's carried me through things in the past. You've been the one that's been faithful time and time and time again, and I have doubts, but I'm gonna continue to follow you." I don't know if you noticed this, but Thomas, he was faithful to follow Jesus. But even in his following, he still doubted. It's all right to doubt, but it's not all right to doubt outside of the presence of God. We need to bring those doubts to him and say, "God, I've got these doubts. I've got these doubts about whether you're going to come through. I have these doubts that I'm actually going to get a job. I have these doubts about whether tithing is actually the way to see God bless my finances. I have doubts about whether you'll heal my family member that's sick in the hospital. I have doubts about whether my son will come back to Jesus. But what we do is we worry in the presence of God. And this is what Thomas does. He shares his wounds and his worries, and Jesus says, stop doubting and believe. And here's two things that happened in the life of Thomas once he stopped doubting and he chose to believe. Number one, he went from being doubting Thomas to believing Thomas. From doubting Thomas to believing Thomas. You see, when God changes your focus, he can then change your future. He's saying, don't focus on your situation. Don't focus on what's right in front of you. Focus on me. If you don't know the way to go, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'll lead you forward. And this is good news. He went from doubting Thomas to believing Thomas. And we know that because nowhere else after this point is Thomas ever called Didymus again. He was never the late guy or the skeptic or the doubter anymore. What Jesus was saying is, Thomas, look again at yourself, but through my eyes, and see who I say you are, not what other people say you are. Here's the second thing that happens in Thomas's life. He went from being the last one to the reunion to be the first one to arrive at a new revelation. After that moment when Jesus said, come, put your finger in the wounds in my hands and put your hand into my side, Thomas steps back and he says, my Lord and my God. You see, Thomas, for 3.5 years, journeyed and walked with Jesus. And he saw Jesus perform miracle after miracle after miracle for other people. Healing the blind, healing the lame, setting the man possessed by demons free, raising Lazarus from the dead. He knew about Jesus. He knew that Jesus was good and faithful, but he'd never experienced a miracle, a personal miracle for him. In that moment, Jesus' wounds healed the doubt of Thomas. The Word of God says that by his stripes we are healed. And I want to reassure you that the wounds of Jesus are intended to heal the wounds in your life. I don't know what someone did to you. I don't know what they said about you. I don't know how they hurt you. I don't know the situation you're walking through, but the wounds of Jesus are sufficient to heal the wounds in your life. He did it for Thomas and he can do it for you. He said, my Lord and my God. In that moment, he didn't say, Jesus, you are the Lord, or you are a Lord. He said, you are my Lord and my God. And there's something powerful that happens when Jesus becomes our Lord and our God. We begin to say what King David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And that's the point Jesus wants to take us to. That we would come to church not just to experience a great worship moment or hear a great message, but for us to encounter the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and that he would become our Lord and our God, and that we would say yes to him. That's the outcome. We're intended to carry Jesus with us from the place that we go. And here's what happens. That gave Thomas boldness. Very quickly, church history tells us that Thomas, he left Jerusalem and he went in to minister in other places. In fact, he ended up and ministered in the country of India. Perfect person to go and do that. He had doubts, he was a skeptic, and he was able to go to people who believed in Hinduism, which is a pantheistic religion, which means they believe in thousands of gods that are disconnected from humanity, and they also believe in reincarnation. And he was able to say, I know you believe in thousands of gods, I know you believe in reincarnation, but I have walked and lived with the one true God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I saw him die, I saw him come up out of the tomb, and you don't have to wait for reincarnation. He can give you a brand new life right here, right now, in this moment. And not only will he give you a new life and a spiritual rebirth, he will also give you eternal life with him. He was a perfect person to minister to them. Today, look again at Jesus. And once you look beyond your labels, be willing to live above your labels. Whatever labels you have, be willing to let them go. Don't nurse them or rehearse them. Let God reverse them. Sometimes our wounds and our worries become like in the Lord of the Rings, my precious. And we start holding on to those things. And Jesus is saying, what you're holding on to is the past, and there's no future in what you're holding on to. Be willing to let it go so I can give you a new life, so I can give you a new identity, so I can speak life and hope over you. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Don't repeat those things in your life or over the life of your family. Be willing to say, this is where it ends. No longer will my family be what people say about us. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There will be no more divorce in my family. There will be children who believe in Jesus. There will be generations of people who step into God's purpose. And you say, this is where it ends, because Jesus has a new beginning for us. Live above your labels. Thomas chose to live above his labels, and he stepped in a big way. And as I close, I want to invite you to stand, and I want to share with you one last thought. It's simply this. If you're courageous enough to step forward with Jesus, I want to reassure you that Jesus sees who you can become. Jesus sees who you can become. The Bible tells us that all of us were created by Jesus. That's what John chapter 1 tells us, that we were all formed by his hands. And he spoke life and purpose over us before we came to be. And the enemy wants to erase that. He wants to convince you that you're not worth it, that your doubts are too big for God to answer, that you shouldn't question, that you should just keep coming, but don't lean in, stay far away from God, don't get close to him, don't step in and worship him, just show up, but stay the same. And today, Jesus is inviting us to look again, to look beyond our labels and see him, to live above our labels, because Jesus invites us to do so. And so today, as I close, I just want to share with you, I want to invite you to look again at Jesus. You may know about Jesus, but I want you to know him today. Here at Westover, this is what we believe, that believing in Jesus is as clear as ABC. A, admitting that we need Jesus, because we all do. We all need Jesus. B, believing in our heart that he died on the cross and that his death was sufficient to pay for all of our sins, both past, present, and future sins. And that he died and then he rose again to prove that he had the ability to conquer death, hell, and the grave in every situation we face. He gave us life, abundant life, eternal life as well. And that C, we would confess from our heart with our mouth out loud that we want Jesus to be the Lord of our life. And I want to extend that opportunity to you today. So I want to invite everyone to bow their head and close their eyes. If you're at a place in your life where you know about Jesus, but you don't know him, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. You're not joining this church, you're just saying yes to Jesus. I want to challenge you to look again at him and see him as Thomas did, as my Lord and my God. So on the count of three, raise your hands if that's you. One, two, three. Yes, hands going up. Yes, yes, yes. Up in the balcony, yes. For those of you who have your hands raised up, I want you to say this prayer from your heart with your mouth out loud, because the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth from our heart out loud that Jesus is Lord, he becomes the Lord of our life. So I want to invite you to say this prayer with me, everyone who has their hand up. But in fact, we're all going to pray it together. Let's pray together. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for going to the cross to pay for my sin and give me a new life. Thank you for the forgiveness. Today I confess and I declare with my mouth that you, Jesus, are the Lord of my life. Help me live that out every day. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you just said that, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here's two things I'd love for you to do. Number one, attend our Follow Jesus class so we can help you get on a journey to follow him. And secondly, sign up for water baptism, which is the way we celebrate your new life in Jesus. But before you go, can I just pray a blessing over you? Let me pray. Lord, I pray right now for your people. You've invited them to look again. And I pray, Lord, over the next couple weeks, that you'll reveal to them the extravagance of your love that you displayed on the cross, how you came to rescue us from a life with no hope. May they see you again, and may they see you new, and may they realize that you want to be their Lord and their God. Bless your people today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. It's been great to have you here at Westover today. God bless you.